I'm going to pray and we get right into the word. Father, thank you so much for your goodness, for your mercy, for your grace. Thank you so much for your love. You loved us so much that you sent your son Jesus. Not only did you send your son Jesus, but you gave us the Holy Spirit. God, you love us and we love you back. So Holy Spirit, we yield to you. May we learn something tonight to help us advance your agenda. God, we give you all the glory, all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Glory to his holy name. Tonight, I want to deal with, I think, one of the most misunderstood subjects in the Bible. It's a very simple word. We use it all the time, but it's misunderstood. Tonight, I want to talk about the blessing. And the reason why I want to do that is because the direction Apostle has us going in, this apostolic direction, the apostolic reformation that's happening, things that are happening in our lives, some of us are already in the process of doing the things that I'm going to talk about tonight. But sometimes we got to remember that we have people that come in among us and we 100 miles an hour. And so they just trying to hang on, trying to learn and catch on to what, here it is, trying to understand our culture.
Yeah. Hallelujah. That's good, sir.
See that, trying to understand our culture, trying to understand what we're about, what we believe, why we do what we do.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the blessing has been a word that has been abused. Because the blessing is not just something you can ask for. I'm going to prove to you. It's not just something you can ask for. You can ask for it, but if you don't have some intangibles in place, then your asking will be in vain. Go with me to Genesis, the 12th chapter, because we're going to establish how the blessing is released. It's very important that we understand this because in this apostolic house, and when I say the word apostolic, I'm simply talking about the agenda of God. That's what the apostolic is all about. That's what it is. It's the agenda of God. And so the purpose of an apostle is to give us access,
yes, sir,
to the agenda of God.
Yeah.
Because if we don't know the agenda of God, then we can't do Matthew 6:33. If we can't do Matthew 6:33, if we can't seek ye what? First, the kingdom of God and his rights or his right way of doing things, then the B part can't happen to us. And so we've equated the blessings to the B part. These things being added to us, but not understanding how to do the first part. Now, here's one thing that we have to understand. You and I cannot access the agenda of God or the blessing of God without being connected. It is impossible. You can't find nobody walking the face of the earth that's living the God kind of life. The John 10:10 life. The abundant life. You might have life more abundantly. That abundant life, the life of peace, without being connected to the agenda of God. It's impossible. There are people that are searching, and God is gracing them while they're searching, but they'll never access the full everything that God, you'll never access everything God has for you if you don't connect to the agenda of God. You'll never receive the full blessing. Are you understanding this? All right, Genesis, the 12th chapter. Watch this. Genesis, the 12th chapter. And the third verse. Second, let's do the second verse. Is God talking to Abraham? Well, we might as well read all first verse too. Let's start at the first verse. Now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Verse 3, and I, who is I? God. Come on, God. God said, and I will bless them that bless thee. Who is he talking to? Abram. So God is saying, I am going to bless those that bless you. Right? And he said, and curse him that curses thee. And he said, in thee. Who is thee? We kind of scared to say that. And Abram. Now, what makes Abram so significant? What makes Abram significant is because verse 1. Now, the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred. That is direction from God and an agenda from God. Verse 2, he said, I will make thee a great nation. That's God's agenda. So Abraham, or Abram at the time, is carrying God's agenda. All right? Nobody else really knows what's going on. Because God is talking to Abram. Right? Then God told Abram, I am going to bless those that, in other words, God told Abram, I'm going to empower to prosper those that empower you to prosper. Let me say it a different way. God said, I'm going to help those that help you. Let's keep it simple. He said, I'm going to help those that help you. Help Abram do what? Become a great nation. All right. So we see here that the blessing is just not something you can ask for. It's something that you have to access. It's something that you have to go after. It is something that just don't fall on you. Go with me to 1 Chronicles. First Chronicles, the fourth chapter. Most of y'all have read this. You know where I'm going. First, if you're a Bible student, you read this passage before. And you probably lifted it up out of context. Like I had before, like I've done. Lifted it up out of context. And assume that because you ask God for the blessing, that it's going to show up. And when you was asking for the blessing, you was asking for the benefits of the blessing without the accountability and the responsibility of the blessing. Is that making sense? So here in 1 Chronicles, the fourth chapter, in the ninth verse, it's the prayer of Jabez. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. Verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Now, what you must understand about Jabez and what he's saying and what he's asking, see, when you study the Word of God, you have to come out of our Western Hemisphere thought process. All right, so when Jabez was saying this, Jabez was saying this from a Jewish perspective. All right, which means, with the Jewish perspective, that means Jabez had an understanding already of what he was asking for because he had read Genesis 12 and 3. So when we read 1 Chronicles 4 and 10, we assume that it's talking about the benefits. Jabez wasn't asking for the benefits. He was asking for a position. He was asking for a position. Lord, please, watch this. Watch what happens now. Watch what happens. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And the Bible says, "And God granted it, granted him that which he requested." So when you read that from a Western Hemisphere thought process, and our current understanding of the blessing, you thinking that God just gave him a lot of stuff. But that wasn't what Jabez was asking for. So you got to realize this passage of scripture was an interruption. Because if you read starting at chapter 1 and then past this, it was genealogy. Who begat who? Who begat who? So something about Jabez stood out from the rest of them. Because they were exiled. In other words, because they hadn't been obeying what God wanted them to do. So people had been coming against them. So that's why Jabez's mother bore him in sorrow. Because it was trouble all around. So Jabez had enough sense because the Bible says he's more honorable. Not that he was more special. He just thought a different way. And his thought was, "God, I see what you've done for our forefathers. I saw what you've done for Abraham. And God, you said in your word, you said that if I attach myself to your agenda, you're going to keep evil from me. You're not going to let it vex me." Now, this is important. Now, this is important. This is important. I need you to understand this. This is important because today, the apostolic is acting as an ark. It's acting as an ark. God's agenda is acting as an ark with the door wide open. Anybody, watch this now, watch this. Anybody who is willing to connect to the agenda of God can walk into the ark. See, that's the purpose of an apostle. An apostle is to structure heaven to earth government. Are you seeing this? To open the portals of a supernatural so anyone that is connected can access the supernatural. See, so the ark is wide open. The apostolic is wide open for participation, but you have to connect properly. You have to want to connect. It can't be a personal agenda. It got to be his agenda. Is this making sense? So you see that this passage of scripture just broke up the genealogy. Because there was something significant, some way that Jabez thought that the rest of them weren't thinking. Now watch this. Here's how I know that Jabez was prosperous. Not because, and God granted him, because God wasn't giving him the stuff first. God positioned him. God told him. God gave him insight. Okay, you want to be a part of what I'm doing? You want to be a part of the agenda? I'm going to put you in the right position. And because he put himself and he put himself in the right position, everything else showed up. Because we got Bible that says, "I'm going to bless those."
All right. Yes, sir.
Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
Go with me to Matthew's, the 5th chapter.
Hallelujah.
There are three things that are necessary to access the blessing. Three things that you must have in your life to access the blessing. And every last one of them can get these things. Every last one of us. So nobody has to be left out. Nobody has to be excluded. Nobody has to be denied. Joshua, the 5th chapter. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Matthew, the 5th chapter. I'm going to read one of the Beatitudes. Matthew, the 5th chapter, look at verse 8. What it says. Whoa. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Right? That's not talking about going to heaven. Those with a pure heart will see God when he's moving in the earth realm. Now, the first thing you got to have is a pure heart. What I mean by having a pure heart? God, I don't want nothing else but you. I don't want no other will to come to pass but your will. The dreams that I feel you gave me, God, I will put them on the back burner and let you bring them to the front burner. Yeah. See, it's not God talking to me, then me going to make it happen. It's God talking to me, and then I cooperate with him to bring it to pass. See, so you must have a pure heart to access the blessing. Because in order to access the blessing, I got to be connected. I can't be connected. You can't be connected to something or somebody going in a certain direction and you pull in another direction. You got to, in order for the momentum to increase and for synergy to take place, synonymous energy. The energy of the leader, the energy of those connected becomes synonymous. And momentum is increased. Do y'all understand why we don't have a whole lot of foolishness around here in this church? Number one, our apostle is true. He real. But another reason is because of our culture. We have a bunch of people in here with synonymous energy with apostle. So synergy. So people can walk in here and realize, I can't do what I want to do in here. So, one of the reasons why, you know, we are like we are is because we're receiving so much. Yeah. So I don't know about you, but I know for me, I ain't letting nobody come in here and mess up what we got. Because if I let somebody come in here and mess up what we got, then it's going to mess me up from receiving. I can't have a disturbed apostle. I saw something of beauty that happened a while ago. I ain't gonna be too specific. We were in a meeting. An apostle was talking, and an apostle was giving us some instructions, giving us insight. And apostle opened it up for questions. And, a particular person began to ask a question, but began to say some things that was trying to promote them. An apostle, 15, 20, 25 years ago, apostle would cut their neck off. would have cut their neck off, right? But this time, he let them go on. Let them say what they had to say. And then after that person finished saying what they saying, one person stood up and said, nah, this is the way we gonna do it. Another person in the back said, nah, apostle, you taught us to do it this way. Another person said, nah, apostle, we gonna do it the way you say do it. That is culture. With the culture being protected, the job of an apostle is to structure heaven to earth government so that the portals of the supernatural can be opened so that all that connected can access. So therefore, it's not just up to apostle to create the culture. It's up to us, synonymous energy. See, to access the blessing, listen a minute, to access the blessing, you're going to have a pure heart. Because here's the thing, why would God connect you to somebody going in a certain direction and then give you a different direction? The Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. So you got to have a pure heart. Now, everybody can have a pure heart. They may not start off with a pure heart. You may have some personal agendas. But if you sit long enough and you hear the heart of our apostle, you begin to hear the agenda of God. Then you can begin to make adjustments in your heart or in your soul. Yeah. Are you seeing this? And the Holy Spirit is there to help you make adjustments. Because God gave us the Holy Spirit as a confidant. So if God told us to connect and we connect and our feathers get ruffled, then we must refer to the Holy Spirit to unruffle the feathers. Are you seeing this? You got to have a pure heart. Number two, I talked about it already. You're going to have to find somebody to be connected to. Now, in our case, it's apostle. Go to Joshua 1 and 8. This scripture has been lifted out of context so much that tonight I won't put it back in context. Joshua 1 and 8. And internet, there's no distance to connection either. It's no distance to connection. Y'all wave at me on internet. No distance. No distance. No distance at all. None whatsoever. What we getting in the house, this physical house, you can get it in your house. Joshua 1 and 8. It says what? This. Stop at that word, that first word. What it says?
This.
This meaning specific. It didn't say a book. Matter of fact, it didn't say the book. It says this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. But thou shalt what?
Meditate.
Meditate when? Day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make that way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, we have taken that scripture and lifted it out of context and tried to apply it to the whole Bible. But if we really understand what this scripture is talking about and we put it back in context, you will see that it's God talking to Joshua. I talk about this all the time. This is so amazing to me. God is talking to Joshua and telling Joshua, do what Moses told you to do. He said, I'm not going to give you no more instructions. I'm going to need you to meditate on what Moses told you to do. This book that I gave Moses, this book of the law that I gave Moses, gave y'all, the Israelites, I'm going to need you to meditate this. Do you realize that Joshua 6 could not have taken place if Joshua 1 and 8 hadn't taken place? There would have been no marching around the wall. Joshua could not have heard it.
Yeah, that's so good.
Because he meditated. Yes. Y'all catch this. Please catch this. I'm going to say it this way. Because we meditate what apostle is teaching us, it puts us in a position to hear God clearer.
Yeah. I believe that.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
That's the goal. The goal is to put you in a position to hear God clearer. Because here's the thing. God, apostle can't go with us everywhere we go.
Yeah.
But we don't have to be apostles. But we can be apostolic. Which means when Apostle Paul told them, ye are partakers of my grace.
Yeah.
Apostle Paul was just talking to everybody. Apostle Paul was talking to people who had a pure heart and was connected. He said, you are partake. Other words, Paul said, wherever you go, the same grace that's with me is going to be with you. You are partakers. Now, why were they partakers of his grace? Why was Joshua able to march around the wall? Because he, watch this, he had God's agenda at heart. He had God's agenda at heart. Watch this. Number three, the third thing you must have. Let me say it this way, you cannot have. You're going to see what I'm talking about in a moment. You must have meekness. You must be humble. And you can't have an ego. What is meekness? Meekness is harnessed power. You may be anointed, but you're going to have to harness it in this apostolic house. See, because you can be anointed but not graced. See, grace gives you the permission to operate.
All right.
Anointing gives you the ability to operate. Let me say that again. Grace gives you the permission to operate.
Yes.
The anointing gives you the ability to operate. You may have the ability to operate, but don't have the permission. See, because if you got permission, we can get you anointed. But some people are anointed, but don't have the grace or don't have access. Grace comes from, grace is simply, simply put, is an empowerment from God to be empowered. To be empowered. That's what grace means. So when the Apostle Paul said you're partakers of my grace, the Apostle Paul really is saying you have permission to operate apostolically because you're connected to me. Are you saying this? So I got to have a pure heart. I got to be connected. And I can't have no ego. I got to have meekness. Going to Proverbs, the 11th chapter. Praise God. See, the reason why this is important is because a lot of people think it's going to be on their ability alone to deal with God. But it's not, because the fivefold ministry was given to us to mature us. That's for Ephesians 4:11 and 12, to mature us so that we can do the work of the ministry, so that the body of Christ can be edified or be built. So I have to be matured.
Yeah.
That means I'm going to have somebody who's already mature teaching me how to be mature spiritually.
Yeah.
See, I'm not talking about physics. I'm not talking about physical. I'm talking about spiritually. I have to allow a human, let me say it that way, to mold me. I have to allow God to use a human to mold me. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Genesis, the 14th chapter, Apostle teaching on about tithe Sunday, right? In Genesis, the 14th chapter, the latter part of that chapter, the Bible says Melchizedek showed up.
That's right.
Right? Hebrews, the 7th chapter, tells us who Melchizedek was. Melchizedek was God. He became flesh to receive tithes of Abraham. Now, why did God do that? Because no man can see in the supernatural without God's help. So if God stayed in the spirit to receive tithes, there is no accountability.
That's good.
So God became a human to receive the tithes so there can be accountability. So therefore, the reason why God put the agenda in Abraham is for accountability. Jesus told John the Baptist, I need you to baptize me. John the Baptist said, I can't even tie your shoes. I can't even latch your shoes. He said, so that all the scriptures can be fulfilled, you're going to have to baptize. That was apostolic order, because John the Baptist had come and prepared the way for Jesus. So it was only apostolic that John the Baptist baptized Jesus. So that people that heard John the Baptist talking about who was coming, they can recognize this is the one he was talking about. Are you seeing this?
Yes,
so we got to have a pure heart. We got to be connected, and then we can have no ego. I'm going to read three scriptures to you talking about the ego. I told you to go to Proverbs 11th chapter, right? Proverbs 11 and 2. It says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Look at 13, Proverbs 13 and 10. Now watch this. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. See, Anytime you have issues in an apostolic house, that person got pride and don't want to let go of their own agenda. So they're trying to steer the house in their direction. But anytime somebody comes in trying to steer the house in their direction, there are people in the culture that stand up and say, no, you're not going to do this. To the point that the apostle don't even have to say nothing. You're not going to do this. This is how we've been doing it. This is how you're going to have to do it. See, the reason why we have a... See, you really can't do it in a church setting because the doors of the church are open. Everybody can come. But see, LTMA is totally different. LTMA is not a church. LTMA is not a church. And everybody ain't getting in. That's why we have an interview process. That's why we have an application process. Because we as ministers and fivefold, we're protecting our culture so that the structure that is being built, the heaven earth government, can be established and that we can benefit. And so this is why there's an interview process so that we can find out what you want. You get what I'm saying? What you want. I mean, any of y'all who are married or have been married or is current married, all y'all went through an interview process. What you want? What you want? Some of us did the interview right. Some of us ain't asked the right questions, but we had the opportunity to be interviewed and to interview. What you want? I'm trying to go this direction. What do you want? Now, it doesn't matter to me. It doesn't bother me. You can choose whatever you want to choose. You can go whatever direction you want to go. But as for me in my house, pure heart, connection, no ego. I'm almost finished. Because these is important for, and I'm telling you why I'm doing this. It might not seem like this is not extremely deep, but once again, I have to remember there are people that are coming, attaching all along, people that are connecting all along. And man, listen, this when you start talking about the apostolic, man, when Apostle first came to me about the apostolic and laid this book in my lap and said, I need you to read this book, I was like, man, what in the world? What are we doing? What are we talking about? But the more I kept reading and the more I kept studying, I started seeing this thread throughout the gospel, throughout the Bible, of how God is orchestrating his agenda. How God is not going to bypass humanity. He's not going to bypass humanity to help humanity. I'm going to say it again. He's not going to bypass humanity to help humanity. He is going to cooperate with humanity to help humanity. What I mean by that, God is not going to pass up his man or woman of God to please you. There's a book that I read years ago by Dr. Henry Blackaby called Experiencing God. And one of the things he said, there were seven realities of experiencing God. One of the things he said is you must make major adjustments to be involved with what God is doing. That means we come out of our parents' womb, our mother's womb, and we've lived life and we've learned life. And so now we get a hold of this thing called the kingdom of God. And we get a hold of this thing called the kingdom of God. And then we realize that everything we're doing wasn't quite right. And so now we got to make adjustments. And you have to make major adjustments to be involved with what God is doing. And so look who got to make the adjustments. We got to make the adjustments. Do you know God ain't talked to nobody on the earth for 400 years because they wouldn't make no adjustments? From the end of Malachi to the New Testament, to the Matthew 1:1, God, it was 400 years before God said anything to anybody, because God is saying, listen, we're going to do this my way. God said, I got eternity. I have eternity. I sit here and wait. You know what I'm saying? I'll sit here and wait till y'all get your mind right. I have eternity. So as we have to make the adjustments, how many adjustments have you had to make since you've been here? Woo. But let me ask you this, though. Have the adjustments been beneficial? Are you seeing what I'm saying? And see, if you had an ego, you couldn't make that adjustment. There were some people that have egos, and sadly say they get flushed out because they can't make the adjustments. See, anytime apostle says anything to me and I don't quite understand, or I'll be like kind of confused. Listen, I'm going to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, help me to understand what he's trying to say. Are you seeing this? See, that's what it means to make. See, that's why you have to have a pure heart. See, if you don't have a pure heart, let me tell you what the apostolic does. The apostolic is already set. God already has his mind made up. I can prove it to you. Jeremiah 29:11. He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. So it's set. It's set. Your wealthy place is set. Your healthy place is set. Your peace is set. It's already set. God already got that set up for you. But you got to hear his voice in order to get there. I can't lean to my own understanding. I have to acknowledge him in all my ways and let him direct my path.
Amen.
See? So sometimes God will put another man or woman of God that's been where we want to go, have come back and put them in our lives to help us hear the voice of God. And if I got an ego, just imagine if Joshua would have had an ego. Just imagine if Joshua would have had an ego. You have God talking to you. And God is sitting there telling you, do what Moses said do. And Joshua had an ego. Well, God, we talking faith. You talking to me right now. Why you just can't tell me? Why you just can't tell me what you want? Why you can't just tell me what you want to happen? Why you can't just do that? God, we talking. You telling me you're going to be with me like you're going to be with Moses. Why you don't tell me what you want done? Because God's agenda has already been set. Has already been set. And the accountability on humanity is, can you connect to what's already been set? See? So God can tell how you can be used, but how by how you connect. See, Galatians 6:7 is not a joke. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Yeah. So God is saying, are you going to sow this? Are you going to sow yourself? Are you going to sow your talents? Are you going to sow your heart?
Come on, Terrence.
See, because God said, I can't let you reap what you hadn't sowed. You keep asking God for favor. But have you shown favor? Have you turned your attention to his agenda? See, have you sown grace? You want to receive, you keep asking for favor. God, I want favor on my job. God, I want favor in my business. But have you shown favor? Or have you sown favor? I'm almost finished. The question now is, how do I connect? You connect with, of course, three things. Number one, you connect with your soul, with your mind, with your heart. The Bible talks about, I think it's in the First Chronicles, I want to say. It might be Second Chronicles. It said that Jonathan's soul was knit to David. All right. Now look at the significance of that. Jonathan, for those who don't know, Jonathan was the son of Saul, who was king of Israel. His soul, the king of Israel's son, soul was knit to the future king of Israel. Now, what made the difference between, what was the difference between the current king of Israel and the future king of Israel? See, what's the difference? Agenda. The current king at the time, Saul, didn't have God's agenda at heart. He was just anointed to be king, but he wasn't graced. Samuel was his connection to grace. Sometimes when you're anointed, you think you can do things that you're not graced for. Saul was given instructions by Samuel to go to a certain city and stay there 7 days, and I'll meet you there, and when I get there, we're going to do a burnt sacrifice. Well, Samuel took longer to show up than Saul wanted. So Saul took it upon himself to do the burnt offering. When Samuel showed up and seen that Saul had done the burnt offering, Samuel said, "What you've done? Samuel was saying, "You're not graced for this." And then Samuel, why you keep dealing with Saul? I've rejected him. Go read it. Right after that situation, he said, "Why you keep dealing with Saul? I've rejected Saul as king of Israel." So you can be anointed to do some things, but if you're not graced. See, a lot of us in here are anointed to do some things, but because we haven't totally surrendered our heart to the agenda of God, we can't get the grace. So that's why doors are being closed. Doors are closed, and guess what? It's not the devil closing them doors. It's not the devil closing them doors. God can do what he wants. It's not the devil closing them doors. Sometimes it's God closing them doors until he can get your attention and get your heart, get your connection right. So you connect with your soul. What that means? That means you got to have the same mindset as the leader. See, apostles teaching on health. You should be at least trying to study, find some information on health. Obviously, it's for a reason. See, it's for a reason. See the culture that we're creating? There are people that's coming behind us that has to have access to this culture. We got to live longer so they can get acclimated to the culture that we're creating. Do you know why the children of Israel went into slavery to Egypt? It wasn't because God prophesied it, even though he did. But everything God prophesied is conditional. Because when God prophesies something, especially if he prophesies something evil that's going to happen, he always gives us a means of escape. If you go back and read Exodus, the first chapter, you'll see why they went into slavery. The children of Israel went into slavery because Joseph died. And a new Pharaoh came about. The Bible said he didn't know Joseph. And that the children of Israel waxed strong and grew great, and he got intimidated. So to solve his intimidation or the lack of his confidence, he said, "We're going to put him in slavery." Now, watch this now. Watch what I'm talking about health. Why did the children of Israel go into slavery? Because Joseph died. Right? We got to stay alive so that God could continue talking and get the young ones acclimated to this culture that we're creating. Because if we don't get them acclimated, then the kingdom of darkness is going to try to prevail. I don't want to be a part of the generation where God got to wait 400 more years before he starts talking again. I'm ready for God to talk. Keep talking now. So that's why Apostle talks about health, because we have to live longer. Because this culture we're creating, I'm talking apostolic, I'm talking about connection, I'm talking about pure heart, I'm talking about your soul knitted to apostle soul. So if he began to talk about health, there's some major adjustments. Are you seeing this? The Bible, I'm going faster because I don't have much time left, but the Bible talks about Elijah. He told Elijah to do three things. Watch, the first thing he told Elijah to do was to anoint Elijah. Listen now, listen, go read this. It's verbatim. Go anoint Elisha to be a prophet in thy room. God didn't say my room. God say in your room, Elijah. The other two things was he had to go anoint two different kings. Do you realize Elijah only did one thing out of those three? He anointed Elisha. Elisha did the other two. That's the culture that's being created to follow the agenda of God. The reason why Elisha was able to get the double portion is because of his connection, not because of his service. His service came from his connection. Because when the whirlwind, the chariot brought Elijah up, and the whirlwind caught him up, the first thing he did was rid his clothes and say, God, why you took my master? He didn't say, oh, I got the double portion, I'm about to go off now. No, he was concerned, God, why are you taking away from me the man? His soul was knitted to Elijah. Are you seeing this? So your soul has, you connect with your soul. Number two, you connect with your talents and your energy. 1 Corinthians 6 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is not your own? For it was bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God. Uh-oh. Make God successful in your body. That's what the word glory means. Make God successful in your body. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you by the mercy of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Most sacrifices are dead. He said a living sacrifice. So that means something got to die in you while you're alive. Could it possibly be your will? Could it possibly be your agenda? And then the Apostle Paul say, which is your reasonable service? That's the least you can do. You connect with your talents and your energy. Last, you connect with your resources. Go to Matthew, the 6th chapter. Jesus, when he was in the temple and it was given, he sat by the what? Treasury. Now, Jesus didn't sit by the treasury because he needed money. He sat by the treasury because Jesus the one quoted the scripture we're about to read. It's in red. It should be read in your Bible. Matthew 6 chapter. I think it's the 21st verse. Is that it? Matthew 6, 21. Put that up for me, please. Yep. This Jesus said this. So when Jesus was sitting by the treasury, what Jesus was looking at is the heart. That's why he called all those rich people out that time. He said, y'all casting y'all abundance. But she gave what she had. So her gift meant more to him than all the other gifts. Because her heart. Do you know that it's not God that determines your seed? God can advise you, but it's not God that determines your seed. I believe that, sir. Oh, man, I can prove it. Go to 2 Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians. Watch this. 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. Watch this, and I'm closing here. 2 Corinthians, 9th chapter. You know, I am Leroy Jr. My dad was a Baptist minister, and so I got Baptist in me indirectly, so I'm going to close by 7 times. 2 Corinthians, 9th chapter, and the 7th verse. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly, all necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Every man according as he decides. So you decide your seed. God can advise you. God get you. God, look what he says in the 10th verse. He said, now he that ministers seed to the soil, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. God will give you seed, but it's up to you to determine it. See, what I said, three things you got to have. You got to have what? Number one, a pure heart. Right? All right, pure heart. All right, we go, a pure heart. Okay, when God gives you seed, and you begin to determine what seed you're going to give, the purity of your heart is going to guide you. God, and what your purity of your heart is going to do is going to open the door for you to hear God. Because see, God deals with timing. So that's why we have to get God's advice. He don't determine the seed now. He give you the seed, and it's up to you what you're going to do with the seed. But I can let him advise me on the seed. And I have to purpose in my heart what I'm going to do. Yeah. So if my heart not pure, or watch this, or if I'm giving with an ulterior motive. See, I don't have to give. I don't have to swap with God. God already said what he's going to do. He said, give. And he said, be given back to you, good measure, pressed down, shake together, run over, shall men give it to your bosom. God already said what he was going to do. He's not a man that he should lie. If he said it, he's already said, so I don't even have to worry about the swapping. What I'm concerned about, God, is this what you want? God, is this what you're asking me to do? God, is this the move you want me to make? God, is this what you want me to give? See, because once you nail that, there's nothing, this economy, there's nothing that your job, there's nothing that Satan can do to stop your harvest. See, that's why tithing is so important, because tithing is a revelation from Abram, set in law by Moses, so that Christians that don't understand God's system can come in and have a baseline.
Come on now. That's right.
See, Jesus put us in a position to stand on the law. See, I'm standing on the law. The law is not, see, in the Old Testament, the law was the ceiling. But in the New Testament, the law is the floor. So I get to stand on the law. You understand what I'm saying? So therefore, it's easy for me to meet the baseline. See, where I miss it at, Jesus take up the slack. So that puts me on top of the law. That don't mean the law moved or the law gone. It's just that Christ redeemed me from being controlled by the law. So if I do make a mistake, the law can't bind me because I ask for forgiveness and the blood of Jesus wipes me clean. So I stand on the law. That don't mean, see, if we move the law, if the law is being removed, then our foundation is being removed. See, in the Old Testament, in the Old Testament, the law was the ceiling. That's something they achieved to. In the New Testament, the law is the floor. I stand on the law. Why? Because Christ and his blood, his death and burial and resurrection put me on top of the law.
Yeah.
So now all I got to do is practice what he say. Whatever he says to you, do it.
All right, so I got to have a pure heart. I got to have a connection. Can't have no ego. I connect with my soul. I connect with my talents and my energy. And I connect with my resources. See, this is a good place for you to start. If you've never heard this before, this is a good place for you to start. On the internet, those that watch on the internet, this is a good place to start. Now you know, you say, well, how I connect to apostolic? I just told you how to connect. And see, once connection takes place, now the words that I speak unto you. See, you're going to have, once you connect properly, you're going to have the same experience that Joshua had. Where he's going to God and talking to God. Watch this. And then God tell him, listen, I'm going to connect you to somebody that's going to help you to get to where you're trying to get to. Right? Once you begin to feed on that impartation, and you begin to get the same mind. What apostle want, I want.
Yeah.
What God want with apostle, God want that with me.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, God's begin to talk to you clearer.
Come on.
You know, last illustration, watch this. When you have an RV, and then you what's called dinghy tow, which is you tow a vehicle behind it. Most times it's a Jeep because they're easy to hook up. The RV is designed to do long distances. Mm-hmm. But when you get to your destination, you unhook the Jeep to make your local.
Right.
All right? Even though the RV has wheels, has tires and wheels and can drive, it can't fit everywhere. Because its assignment is massive. It's designed for long distances. But the thing that's connected behind that's going in the same direction, when they get to that destination, the hard part has been done. All the Jeep got to do now is go around and run the local errands. So here it is. When you connect to apostle properly, all the curses, all the whatever that's in your way in your life that's trying to stop you from going where you need to go has been dealt with. Now you got to get in the Jeep and start hearing the voice of God on where to go and what to do. See my connection. See, I can't be connected to Jeep. See, the Jeep can't have his own mind. But the Jeep can think for itself. Because the Jeep chose to connect. If the Jeep won't go with RV going, the Jeep gonna have to connect. Now, the Jeep can go anywhere he wants. The Jeep can drive the long distance by himself. I tell you what, the ride gonna be uncomfortable. When you get there, you ain't gonna have no covering. When you get there, you're gonna have to stay in somebody else's place. But when you hook up to the RV, you're taking everything you need with you. You're taking all the grace you need with you when you go. So therefore, when you reach your destination, it's just a matter of unhooking. And now, because I have been trained to go that certain direction, now I can maneuver and I can hear God watch this. I can hear God on the same frequency as apostle. You may be seated. Lift your hand to be the offering envelope. Us and I to serve you.